B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Program Felger Maz on a Friday. What does that mean, Maz?
Agenda free.
Okay, it's brought to you and driven to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give opening thoughts while you load the call screen, and then we go to you. That's what we do all day long. You set the agenda with your fine phone calls. Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Who wants to go first on an opening thought?
Murray.
All right. Celtics win over the Kings last night meant more to me than any of the three in the West Coast road trip. It really did. And I thought that the much-talked-about group therapy session out to California, the flight out to California, might have been a little bit overhyped. But after last night, I don't know. There might have been something to it, because a couple of weeks ago, or at least around the All-Star game, or what we had seen from the Celtics up until that flight, they would wilt in a game like last night's, down 17. And then specifically, in the third quarter, after being up one, in what felt like a matter of 40 seconds, the Kings go up by 13 after Buddy Hield rains three-pointer after three-pointer.
That was unbelievable how fast that happened.
Oh, my God. And then, not to mention, Maz, Brad Stevens calls a timeout way, way too late. And I'm prepared to get real salty. I tweet about it because I'm mad in the moment. And I'm ready to call them frauds. Again. And then what happens? The Celtics go on a 13-2 run that includes three straight threes from Jaylen Brown, 22 points off the bench for him. They retake the lead. It completely turns the game. They never look back. Brown was great late. Hayward was great late. Same for Kyrie Irving. They collectively got punched in the face by this scrappy Sacramento Kings team, which is actually pretty good if you haven't been paying attention to the league.
I like them.
And they didn't fold. They showed real resiliency. They showed some real balls. So I think it was really encouraging. I really do. I'm not being facetious about that at all. That game was great last night, late. And I think you could take a hell of a lot more out of last night's win than you can out of anything you saw last week. So I was encouraged last night. And even though Marcus Morris was pretty good last night, Jaylen Brown, I think, proved he should be in the starting five.
Nice, positive leadoff take from Murray. What do you got, Maz?
Okay, so yesterday, Major League Baseball and the Players Union announced some rule changes for the 2019 and 2020 seasons that we never got to because we were knee-deep in football. And you know why else we didn't get to them?
Because
they're useless. Useless. That's why. Useless. Useless. Useless changes. That's why we didn't get to them. Useless. How about this for a rule change? Did you know? You know what they limited in 2019?
What?
The number of mound visits. They cut it from 6 to 5. And on a related note, Andy Gresh has given up cheeseburgers. He's still eating pizza, ice cream, and pasta, but he gave up cheeseburgers. Oh, terrific. Talk about throwing a deck chair off the Titanic. Mound visits from 6 to 5. Yay, that'll speed things up. And this one, too, national TV games, the commercial breaks, from 2:25 now, 2 minutes, 25 seconds, to 2:05, or 2 minutes exactly, right? So they shave 25 seconds every commercial break, which is good.
Does that include postseason?
That I don't know. All it said was national TV games. So that's a good question by you.
Thank you.
So in theory, that should shave somewhere between 7 and 8 minutes off of every game. 7 and 8 minutes off a national TV game that was already going 3:35. So congratulations, you're now down to 3:28. There you go. Boy, what a big savings that was. Because the other rule changes, also, by the way, the trading deadline now, August 1st is it. That's it. One trading deadline, there's no more non-waiver trade deadline, or there's no more waiver trade deadline after that for September 1.
Thank God. We don't have to take those calls.
Correct. Which, by the way, accomplishes nothing with regard to pace of play, which is still the number one issue facing Major League Baseball. And the three batter minimum for relievers that we all talked about so much isn't going in effect till next year. So again, baseball moving at a glacial pace, and when they are acting, are doing the littlest, most meaningless things in the world.
Okay, my leadoff take is just following up on the Patriots free agency, and I just find it interesting. And my take here is not really a commentary on whether it's going to work or they're going to figure it out. They'll probably figure it out. They always do. Well, they just always do, and the league can't catch up, and the coaching isn't good enough to challenge you. So this isn't an analysis of is it going to work or is it not, and you know what are they going to be. They're going to be fine. We'll see in the final eight, at least, probably the final four. But it is interesting, the direction. There, you know, it feels like there is a clear direction with the team. And that is, it feels like they're treating Tom Brady like John Elway at the end or Peyton Manning at the end, where you have to manage some old geezer quarterback, and they're going to go with defense and running, and that's what it is. And I find that interesting. First of all, I find that interesting that they've just decided to do that. And hell, they won that way last year, which is pretty impressive. After winning on Brady's back for a decade plus, to turn around and play defense the way they did, and feature the running game the way they did, and still win. You know, the running game hurt their offense, but they still won. And so that, to me, that's impressive. But that's what we're going to do now? Like, that's what it is? So, I mean, hats off if you can do it, man. That shows, that just, you know, solidifies Belichick as the greatest ever, if he can win in all those different ways. I don't know if it's necessary, because I think Brady's got game left. I think he's got a lot of game left. And I don't know, it's just dangerous what they've done with his pass catchers. But that's really how you're going to try and win? Okay. God bless. If you can do it, great. You probably will. But it seems pretty clear that that's what's going on there. And also, secondarily, you know, Belichick as a GM versus Belichick as a coach. I just think it's really, you know, I don't know how great of a GM he is. I think he's good, but I think he's closer to the pack in GM work, where he has hits and misses, and turns out his salary cap management isn't even all that great either. So he's, you know, he's closer to just like everyone else when it comes to being a GM, which again highlights how brilliant he is as a coach, that he gets out of what he does to himself in the offseason, really. So those are my leadoff takes. You got something there, Murray?
I would agree completely. If anything, Belichick, the GM, I think is basically, like you said, just like everybody else. As the coach, greatest of all time, or in that conversation in the top three, because nobody can take stiffs and then coach them up like he can. But the GM,
I think he's good.
Yeah, fine.
I think he's good.
But he makes as many mistakes as anybody else.
Right. I don't think he's special when it comes to GM work. I don't. I don't think he's special when it comes to GM. And I never thought he was special with the money. I mean, what does it take to be a hard ass and not spend and then have your quarterback win you games at the end? What is that? It doesn't take a genius. I always thought their money management was overrated. They have Brady. Just like I think their drafting's overrated and their GM work in general is overrated. The coaching, not overrated. So he takes his mistakes and at the end motivates the team and coaches around weaknesses. And the next thing you know, and no one else can figure it out. I think that's a big part of the story too. And at the end, he's where he needs to be. But I think it sort of hides what happens at this time of year. So those are your opening thoughts. What about you? Everything on the board. You set the agenda. George in Boston, lead us off on Belichick. Go ahead, George.
I almost threw up when you said that Nate Ebner makes almost $3 million.
Crazy.
I mean, what is Barbados Bill doing over there? Is the phone stuck between his rolls?
So it's sort of interesting. You know, most teams run into cap trouble or money trouble by overpaying at the top, and they have some of that, but they've overpaid in the middle.
And the special teamers are off the charts. Ebner getting that kind of dough is ridiculous.
And that I'm pulling it back up. I don't know what he makes. That's his cap number. They started today, Adrian Claiborne gone for $4 million. Like, that's an easy one. And did it come out that he requested it?
Yeah, I
heard that too. Yeah.
Why did he have to request it? Why wasn't he cut the day after the season?
So I was just going to say, why do you cut him after you need the money?
I don't get it.
Like, all the guys are gone now. What good does it do?
Right. If you needed the room to sign some of these players, why was Adrian Claiborne even a consideration?
You got me.
Why'd you have to wait for him to request it?
Or maybe they had to wait until Bill gets back from Barbados.
Well, that's sort of to George's point right there as well. It feels like Murray's inching towards the Celtics train. Luke in Vermont, how do you feel about your team?
I think we've always said with basketball, it's all about your ceilings. And I think they have to go back to Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. And I understand their deficiencies, different reasons at the beginning of the year. Jaylen had already crowned himself. Hayward with the injury, and I still don't think Hayward's all the way back, but he showed enough that I think you have to go with him and Jalen because they raise your ceiling considerably compared to Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, who are bench players and can be great in that role. But if you want to threaten for a championship, if you want to come out of the East, you got to go back to that original starting lineup.
Okay, I don't disagree, especially in that Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart are really great bench players.
Yeah, Morris in particular.
Morris for offense with the second unit and, you know, obviously Smart for spark plug, defense, energy, things like that. I think they really profile as good bench players.
Yeah, I like Morris in the right role. And he actually played well last night. He had a good game last night. But overall, like, to me, ultimately, like, and I don't mean to sound like one of these NBA types, I'm more concerned with the five they have on the floor at the end. I really am. Because and depending on the game, I want Marcus Smart on the floor at the end of the game. I do. So, you know, you want to tell me that you're playing one end of the floor versus another and you're, you know, subbing guys in and out, depending on which end of the floor you're on. I can live with that. Smart's got to be on the floor on the defensive end at the end of games.
But there's a real different look with Gordon Hayward in terms of the aggressiveness and toughness, like in terms of getting to the rim, kind of throwing elbows. Like that, to me, might be the most encouraging thing with him. So, I'm with Luke. At least, maybe not both, but Jaylen Brown should be in that starting five right now.
Let's grab Anthony on Cape Cod on the Patriots. Hi, Anthony. How you doing?
How you doing? Good. Yeah, I called last week. You were like, you know, I was talking about 14 different things. I'll try to be a little bit more concise. I get a little take constipation, and then when I call the show, it's like a take enema. It's just an explosion of hot sports takes. But, Maz, yeah, you said I was irritating last week. Does that have anything to do with me pulling your Sons of Italy card over the Mike Piazza Hall of Fame vote?
No, not at all. I don't even remember that, if you want to know the truth.
Well, you're getting annoying right now. Why don't you just call him? Why don't you just tell us what you called about?
Listen, the Trey Flowers situation is an abject disaster. Okay, I called last week and said he's the best defensive lineman you had since Seymour, and I think that if they don't win another Super Bowl in this run, you're going to look back at that decision as a big part of it. And I was wondering if you thought that a lot of this, Felger, you need to stay in your take bunker. It's about the real money, not the cap money. And I think that Kraft's legal fees might have a little something to do with why they're not spending as much this offseason.
Yeah, I would hope not. I would hope not. I would hope that Robert's got enough in his own kitty to dip into this one. I doubt that, seriously. And I agree it's about the real money versus the cap money, except there has been a few little things here that, you know, not being able to franchise Trey Flowers was a cap thing, not a money thing, because they were never going to pay him. So, and you didn't have to pay him. You didn't have to pay him real money. All you had to have was that 17 on the books cap money, the funny money, the monopoly money, to franchise him and then trade him.
That's purely an accounting thing.
So they purely didn't. So even, you know, rarely does the cap really matter. That's sort of one little one where it does. And the fact that they didn't have that in order, to me, is just negligent because it's easy. I mean, Adrian Killeborn's gone.
See, I don't know.
So, I mean, so if you cut him 2 weeks ago, you get to another couple guys, you cut Ebner or you just carve out the room. All you have to do is have him on there. I think D Ford was traded day one. So you only need that room for a day. I mean, why didn't they do that?
I have no idea. And unless there's some procedural thing that I don't know about. Okay. But I look at it and say, you decide now to cut Claiborne? Now?
At the timing makes no sense.
Jimmy, how much did you say they saved in cap space? $3.5-4 million, something like that?
Close to four.
Okay. Like you couldn't have done that right away? Because we all knew that he was a candidate to get tossed right away. He sucked all year. He maybe played a little bit better at the end. I heard people say that and go, you know, oh, geez, no, maybe they keep Claiborne. What? I don't think it was ever an option. He was terrible all year long. Goodbye. They decided now?
So maybe it's back to the real money. They weren't going to spend on those players regardless. No, I mean, it's usually the real money, not the cap. Either way, there's a financial situation there. We continue with your wonderful phone calls on Agenda Free Friday. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you starting to get concerned, annoyed?
Impatient and pissed.
Okay, good, Murray. Go ahead. Yeah, impatient and pissed with your team.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm through the buffer of, well, they did just win the Super Bowl, and I mostly thought that team sucked last year. They always get it right. You're going to add a right wide receiver, a real wide receiver, because Golden Tate's still out there. You have a 42-year-old quarterback. And as of right now, your wide receiver core looks like Julian Edelman. Yay, you bring Philip Dorsett back for one more year. Fine. And Philip Berrios, Braxton Berrios, whatever the hell his name is.
Honey Nut
Berrios.
Braxton.
Do something. The New England Patriots have added to their wide receiver core. Free agent wide receiver, Bruce Ellington.
I'm sorry, who?
Bruce Ellington.
Can you tell me a little more about this individual, please?
No. What the hell? Bruce Ellington. Who knows about Bruce Ellington? And he's going to sit here and pretend to know about Bruce Ellington.
Fantasy players?
Go get Golden Tate. Golden Tate has found a home as former Eagles and Lions wide receiver. Golden Tate is signing with the New York Giants. What is that team doing? How does that make any sense? Why did he go to the New York Giants? Bill, come back from Barbados or wherever the hell you are and sign a guy like this. Oh, now you can't, because now he's on the New York Giants with Eli Manning throwing him meatballs. Oh, God. The Patriots are signing former Redskins wide receiver Maurice Harris, who is also here on a visit with Bruce Ellington today.
I don't know that. Who's that?
No, nor should you.
Who is that?
Maurice Harris.
Mo?
And
I'm sorry, tell me his name again.
Maurice Harris.
Okay.
Can we go over that depth chart again real quick?
Sure, can.
Go ahead, Murray.
Murray, do it slowly, okay? Do it slowly, because I would like to chime in if you would.
Julian Edelman.
5'10".
Philip Dorsett.
5'10".
Bruce Ellington.
5'9".
Braxton Berrios.
5'9".
Matthew Slater.
No idea. It doesn't matter. He's never going to play the position anyway.
Cody Hollister.
Let's stop there.
Stop there.
5'10", 5'10", 5'9", 5'9". Wide receiver positional coach, Bob Sosa.
That's what it sounded like yesterday. What's it going to sound like today? You'll have the latest here on Felger and Mazz with our reaction.
The Lollipop Guild.
Back to your phones, as promised. Here is Jay in Haverhill on the Patriots. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing? Quick question, then I'll hang up and answer. You guys said Belichick wasn't a brilliant GM, which I agree with. Past or present, who do you consider a brilliant GM? Thank you.
Okay, modern era, it's a good question. Bill still might be number one. My point was that the gap between him and everybody else is not what it is in the coaching realm.
Ozzie Newsome was always pretty good, right? I mean, he's not in the league anymore, right? He retired?
So I think what you see across the league is that GMs go on good runs, and then it dries up. I mean, mock me if you want. Elway got hot there for a while, made a bunch of free agent moves, and, you know, went to two Super Bowls, won one. He was good. I thought he was good. Certainly went on a good run. The guy out in L.A., Les Snead, seems like he's on a pretty good run.
How about Schneider, the guy in Seattle? Is he still there?
Sure, I would definitely give him.
You know what? Because they built that first team, and it feels like they're on the way back.
It feels like it didn't take much for them to start sort of trending back up. I'll give absolutely the guy in Seattle.
Give a nod to Kevin Colbert with the Steelers. That they find a wide receiver every single time they try to go get one.
I'll tell you, fair. Talent's not the issue in Pittsburgh. It's everything else. They usually have a lot of talent or enough talent. So, I think Bill, I mean, if you want to tell me Bill's better than any of the guys we just mentioned, I'll agree. I'm just telling you that any given year, he might not be the best GM. And the gap between him and whoever number two is, you know, negligible. Where the coaching thing is just
huge.
Massive.
No, it's huge. There isn't, you know, the race is for number two because everyone is so far behind number one, it isn't funny. The gap, it's a chasm. It is absolutely enormous. We're talking Grand Canyon between Bill and everybody else. Seriously.
No, absolutely.
I mean, that's not hyperbole. It's just a gigantic. There's no one even close. The gap is just huge between him and the field. Huge.
So, and I just think it comes out this time of year. And so, you know, I think some people think our outrage, or, you know, if fans get outraged in the offseason, it's sort of misplaced because they always figure it out. Well, but you understand, they figure it out coaching-wise. They don't figure it out GM-wise. No, these are actual honest-to-goodness mistakes, hits and misses, misplays. Those are legit. Bill's just such a good coach that he coaches around it. But that doesn't mean that they correct the mistake. The mistakes are there. I mean, I hope you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely, yes. He's just, he doesn't get affected by him the way that most other people do.
Here's Brandon in Roxbury. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. I just want to talk about Brad Stevens. And if it wasn't for Kyrie, the team would be down 20-plus 30 points. But just want to talk about Brad Stevens. Seems a little ditzy when it comes to timeouts. He watches the team sink. You don't call a timeout when your team's down 10 to 15 points. The earliest you call a timeout is five points, because you figure there's something wrong with the offense and defense. You get your team in order. He waits until they're, like, sinking and call the timeout. I have a problem with his timeouts. I don't get it.
So, Brandon, I just think he saves him because he wants to run all of his OTAs or whatever you call them. What do you call those? The out-of-bounds plays? What's the abbreviation?
ATO.
ATO. ATOs. The ATO. The ATOs. So I think he just wants to save him for the end. But he is. He's sticky with those timeouts.
He's slow. He is. He's slow with them. I don't remember which run it was, but the lead got to 13.
That was that third quarter.
It was the third quarter one.
When they got as high as 13, when it really felt like it was getting away from him. Buddy Hield is draining three after three. De'Aaron Fox goes, coast to coast. It's like, and then I think it was after the De'Aaron Fox that he went to the hoop. It's like, okay, he finally calls a timeout. It just felt 5 minutes too late, and I've seen that way too many times this year.
Because I thought the same thing happened on the first one. I'd have to go back and look. When they opened up that lead in the first half, the Kings, I thought, why isn't he slowing this thing down? Like, what is he watching here? He needs to slow it down, and he doesn't. He feels like he's slow on those all the time.
We've got Shea and Brockton on the Patriots. What do you got, Shea?
Hey, so just a couple quick things. One is, I'm just trying to see why they don't go after Ezekiel Lanza. He's 29, coming on. I mean, he's all right for the Lions. But, and then the other thing is, all the plays they just signed, are they really gonna be on the team at the beginning of the season?
All those receivers, I wouldn't be surprised if both those guys they signed yesterday get cut. I mean, that's what happened last year.
Yep.
Jordan Matthews, I mean, we all forgot about him. Matthews, Eric Decker, Kenny Britt, none of them made it through camp. I wouldn't be surprised one bit. I heard Zoe talking about it today. I know nothing about this Maurice Harris fella, and I don't intend to. Why would I waste my time investigating this guy when he could get cut in August? If he makes a team, I'll take a look. But Zoe Washman said he's probably not going to make the team. Slow.
I mean, to me, that's one I never even heard of the guy. Ellington, I could see making the team. But again, to me, he feels like a fourth or fifth receiver. This is what worries me, is that they're all end of the depth chart guys. Like, where's the front end talent in the receiving core?
Okay, so Anza, what's his first name?
Ziggy.
Ziggy Anza is still free. I'm still holding out for Ndamukong Suh. And again, if this is their approach, that they're now going to win with defense and more of a balanced attack running the ball, then are they saving the money for Ndamukong Suh or Ziggy Ansah or someone like this? And wouldn't that make sense? I mean, at least that's a coherent sort of plan and direction. And it may be the right one. We'll see how that plays out. They won it that way last year. I just think, again, that's quite a turn, and would be really impressive if they turn into that kind of team and win at such a high level as that kind of team.
Is Ziggy Ansah more of an edge guy or an inside guy, you know?
I don't know.
So the only reason I ask is because the guy they signed yesterday, what's his name, Fennel?
No, Pennell.
Pennell. Okay, so that guy.
No, he's a fatty.
He's a D tackle.
He's a nose tackle.
Yeah, he's 335 pounds for crying out loud. So to me, it feels like they've got fat guys in the middle of the line now, or at least that was their attempt to address that. So I'd rather have a guy who's a little bit more of a speed player.
Okay, it's agenda free. Everything's on the board. Determined by your calls. We'll give you a quick Bruins minute coming up. Also, early in this program today, fresh Fuppets. We like to run it twice. I've been told this could be an all-timer, meaning all-time record setter. Right now, the most currently viewed episode of the Fuppets is from this past Super Tuesday at the Super Bowl, correct? That's number one. What was number two? You told me the all-time rankings, Jimmy.
So number one is Super Tuesday where you're drunk at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Or impaired. Number two is Too Young.
Okay.
And number three is Maz and his path to totality.
Path of totality.
Yes.
The path of totality.
So this one should blow all three of those out of the water.
This one's pretty good. I've seen it.
In terms of views and whatnot, I've been told this could be a record setter. So you'll get that shortly after the 3 o'clock hour on both 98.5 The Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston, where we'll simulcast. Here's an update, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
4 seconds left. McAvoy out at center right's left wing feed, and the Bruins are going to run out of time. For the first time since early December, the Bruins fall in three straight games in regulation. Your final, the Winnipeg Jets 4 and the Boston Bruins 3.
Bruins minute. Murray, still on that train, kid?
Yeah, we could, you know, WD-40 or grease up the wheels a little bit. Things are getting a little bit rusty over the last week. I thought this might be a little bit of a tough run. Obviously dealing with a lot of injuries. You look at that lineup last night, it's like, huh, who? Every time you look up. Better than the other night, though, last couple of games.
You still on the train, Murray?
Yeah, you know, the train's still, yeah, I've got to shove more coal in. All aboard. Yeah, you know, I still feel good about them, sort of.
I mean, I actually thought they played half decent last night.
They did.
To me, it's a personnel issue now.
No question.
Like, I look, holy crap, when you look out the guys they're missing. Pasternak, DeBrusk, Krug, who am I leaving out? There's more. Like, you go right up and down, they're missing a ton of guys.
Greslick,
right.
If you want to include...
Kevin Miller
and Marcus Johansson, you know, it's not their lineup. They're still sort of fighting. I mean, they came back from 2-0 and then 4-2 and made it a game, had the goalie pulled and were going for the tying goal. The night before in Columbus, they came back from 5-1. They made it 5-1 to 5-4 and had a couple chances to tie it. So they still have that sort of fighting quality and that whole thing, which they established during that win streak. I think the three-game losing streak is as meaningless as the 18-game, you know, streak with a point. I think it's as meaningful as that or as meaningless as that. They've established a little weaker there. They've established who they are, which is a team with a lot of fight, clutch little team, fight for each other, will fight in every game. Their starts suck, but it's not like they mail it in any game. And so it's a nice little quality to have. Even fully loaded, they're not going to be the most talented team, never mind with these injuries. So,
I mean, I think Winnipeg's better than they are.
Fully loaded, I think Winnipeg's better, absolutely.
That team's good. Holy crap, can they strike fast? It is unbelievable. They have speed, skill, and they're kind big of team. Because the Bruins outshot them last night. What was it, like, you know, 33-22 or something like that, whatever it was. I don't even know what the final numbers were. But at one point, it was something like that. But if you turn it over to Winnipeg, they go the other way. They score. They are fast and skilled, man. They're fun to watch. That's a fun team to watch. And that Trouba kid that we were talking about on defense a couple of years ago when the Bruins were looking for defensemen, yeah, he had a good game last night. He's a good player. That's an easy team to root for.
So they should have been better last year. They should have gone far. They're big too, big and sturdy, and it's a tough team. So yeah, I don't, no shame in the 3-game losing streak, just as you shouldn't have taken your pants off for the 18-game streak with a point. I still know what to call that.
No, even in a game like last night, though, they have showed their resiliency. Like, they just, you know, there's no quit. They're not going to get blown out like they did the first game of the year against Washington any night, no matter how undermanned that they are. I'll tell you if this even makes sense, but I'm not as concerned about them as a whole as I am about Pasternak. Like, what are we going on a month and a half with this now?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be back soon. I was over at the Bruins have scheduled practice time today. They weren't on the ice and they didn't have practice, but the guys who were injured that were out there, DeBrusk and Pasternak.
Did you see him shoot a puck?
Yeah, I did. He was doing all kinds of shooting
drills. Then good.
He was doing one-timers from the face-off circle. He was doing all kinds of shooting drills and stick handling drills. And so to me, he's close. I don't know if he's playing tomorrow, but he's close.
All right, because all I've read and heard is holding a stick. Great. Like, great. You can hold a stick. I can hold a stick, even if I broke my hand.
They got to be fully loaded because the talent, you know, the depth just isn't there, like most teams. So they got to get all those guys got to be back.
I've seen enough of Paul Carey. I can tell you that. Holy crap, at the end of that game last night, I think it was Krejci, whoever it was either Krejci or Coyle. He was playing with that line. put the puck right on his stick in the slot. He lined up and whiffed like his stick was buttered, for crying out loud. It was maybe one of the worst hockey plays I've ever seen. Worse than Wags at the open net.
Agenda Free Friday continues. Everything on the board. Eric in Revere has a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, this is Carl from Anthony. Anthony, how are you?
Good, how are you? Go.
Why is Sandy Leon and Sandy Beaches and Blake Swihart still on this team?
Yeah, why do they have three major league catchers?
Well, one of them's going to go. They're going to make a move here in the next, 10 days. The season opens 2 weeks from yesterday, and they break camp, I think, at the end of next week because they're playing those barnstorming games against the Cubs, I think, out in Arizona. They're opening in Seattle, so they're going out west. One of the catchers is going to go. And if you're asking me to who I get to pick, I'd get rid of Leon. That's a guy I'd get rid of. I think Swihart still has some upside. I'm not giving in on that one.
Meanwhile, Red Sox in general, they've gone the last eight without a win. Is
correct.
That what it is?
Eight winless.
Score right now in Florida against the New York Yankees. Yankees 10, Red Sox nothing.
Yeah, they're getting pasted again.
Just to update you, because they made a point of telling us their spring training record last year. So I would never do that. I wouldn't. Trust me, I wouldn't. Unless they made a point of telling us how good they were in spring last year and their spring record being the best in baseball and how it mattered to them. So if it matters, then okay. I'll tell you that they've lost eight straight. And they're now losing 10-0. Aaron Judge hit a home run against, who is it, Lua?
Yeah, who's this mope that's pitching?
No idea.
No, this is a different.
Oh, this is a different stiff.
This is a different stiff.
Yeah, that was Adam Lau.
Lau. That ball, it only went about four rows deep to right center. But the thing must have been hit a mile in the air.
Came down, there was moisture on it.
Seeding the clouds. Freaking Aaron Judge seeded the clouds. It sort of looked like a pop-up off his bat. And it just
kept going.
Oh my God, what a shot against Luau.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, we'll see how the Red Sox look coming out of here.
No, they look ready to go to me.
Not too hot in Florida. Tony and Lynn with the NFL thought. Hi, Tony.
Okay, agenda free. So I got NFL overtime. I know you guys are going to hate this, but give me a second because I think it's a good one.
Do it.
Keep things kind of the way they are, all right? You do the coin flip, offense gets it, but like the Patriots, we scored first. You would give the other team a chance to score first. If they don't, the game's over. If they do score, now instead of just playing a five-minute game or whatever, you kind of take something from the NHL. I call it the NFL shootout. You put the ball at the 10. The offense goes. If they don't score, the other team gets it. If they score, it's over. If the first team scores, then the other team has a chance. If they score, then they just go back and forth until someone don't score. See, I think it'll be exciting.
Tony, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Do you guys follow that?
Not at all. I just heard him say score about 15 times.
Believe it or not, I think I did. I followed it, which is each team gets a possession. If they both score, you then go to the 10.
Shootout.
College rules, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think it'd work.
It's agenda-free Friday.
It'd be exciting.
Everything's on the board, even that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Stephen A., as a Steelers fan, how do you feel about this AB trade?
My apologies to ESPN. I'm not supposed to use this word. I'm pissed off, and I'm going to say it. I can't believe that the Steelers made this move, and I'm going to tell you why. Forget what they do, and I promise I won't use the P word again, but forget what the Steelers ultimately are going to do. This does not matter, Max. It does not matter, Lewis Riddick. It does not matter what Kevin Goldberg and Mike Tomlin and Steelers organization led by the Rooney family does moving forward. If I started off this season, if I started off free agency and I said to you, arguably the number one receiver in football, and the number one running back in football are going to end up being a third-round pick, a third-round compensatory pick, and a fifth-round pick, what would you say? I would immediately, somebody would immediately be demanding that I be drug tested.
Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week, everything that we've gotten to or have yet to get to. That's how the week started with that Antonio Brown trade. One of the signature moves of the offseason. And that was Stephen A. Smith responding to it. So we can get your thoughts on everything from the week, just like that. But back to your phones, as promised. Stephen Tewksbury on the Pats. Hi, Steve.
Mike.
Steve.
Listen, you get all excited about, oh, why didn't the Patriots put flowers on the trade block? Well, maybe nobody wanted a deal for him. You know, that's the possibility. And another thing, you got to get better suits, buddy. You look like Tom Hanks in Big.
Okay, fine, fair enough. I doubt that no one would have wanted him. He was the number one free agent on the board. And Detroit
would have traded for him.
If D Ford got a second round pick, how does Trey Flowers, who's a better all around player, not get a pick in return?
There was obviously a market for him.
Of course there would have been a market for him. Of course there would have been.
Yeah, and look, again, you got to get, you either got to get a high third or something better than that, right? Because you're going to get the third anyway, albeit a year out.
Well, I mean, there's no guarantee because it's based on a formula of what you sign and what you give away. But presumably, you also have to wait a year, right?
Correct.
It's for the 2020 draft, and it's between the third and the fourth rounds. So it's, essentially a fourth rounder. You're picking after the third round for that sandwich pick. The Chiefs got a second rounder from a bad team. Who knows what, the Niners are going to be, but I don't know.
Could be a top 50 pick.
Could be. So, I mean, don't get stupid. You'd much rather have that.
No question.
So how come the Pats didn't manage it that way?
Yeah, it's a good question. Again, to me, and I'm just following some of the stuff on Twitter about the cap space. They only have right now like $7 million in cap space, and they still haven't announced a bunch of their signings. So I'm wondering if part of the reason they had to release Claiborne, and I say had to, maybe they were going to do it anyway.
Well, he asked for it. That's what he implied.
Is they can't officially announce these other signings until they shed more money. I'd be willing to bet it's related.
So, and the interesting sidelight to that is, again, cap is so easily to manage by restructuring contracts. What if their players aren't willing to restructure? The guys at the top, the big guys, money-wise, McCourty, Gronkowski, Hightower, maybe even put Stephon Gilmore in that. I mean, those are their highest paid players. What if their highest paid players are saying, no, we're not restructuring. We're taking the money on the books for this year, or you're going to have to release us. And they're not finding guys to play ball with them. I find that sort of an interesting sidelight. And I would tell you again, like I said yesterday, if they had not have won the Super Bowl, I think they could have easily, both in their own heart and in all of our minds, said, you know what, Devin, it's time to turn the page. We have to now, it's a new era. It was a great run. Now it's over. You're not worth the money. And so we're going to move on from you. And Hightower, we're going to move on from you. And Gronkowski, love to have you. But, you're going to have to take a big cut given the way you look nowadays. Blah, 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 blah. And I think we would buy it more, the fan base and the media. And I think they would be more at peace with it. But when you go win it all and all those guys are big factors, it's a little harder, isn't it, to just walk away from those players. So I wonder if they're in that sort of spot.
I mean, I don't blame those guys if they're digging in on this. Again, I am somewhat floored. When we started discussing this yesterday, I am floored by the reality that the Patriots are even in this spot. It is so unlike them to all of a sudden, basically what you're saying is be leveraged by their players. That's really what you're talking about.
Potentially.
I mean, if guys aren't willing to play ball, they're leveraging the team.
In ordinary circumstances, they'd be, Devin McCourty with a $13.5 million cap hit, and they've got, about, I don't know, call it $9 million of room to renegotiate. His base salary, $9 million, is not guaranteed. And I just think in any other year, or most of the time, they would go to that player and say, you're not making nine. No way. You're going to cut that way down or you're gone. But they're not doing that this time yet. They're not doing it yet. So, maybe there's some behind the scenes back and forth there going on. Chet in Somerville, what do you got? Hello, Chet. You're up.
Hey. Thanks for taking the call, Felger. I was pissed at work on Wednesday when you were calling for the Patterson people. He's an absolute weapon. He can play running back, receiver, return kicks. These guys, Ellington and Harris, stink.
So Chet, you think the Pats made a mistake by not bringing Patterson back?
I agree.
Good job.
With that statement.
Good job. No. I don't believe that, but I'm saying you do.
For a team that's always in AFC championship games and Super Bowls, and where one big play can decide the outcome, Patterson's the kind of guy who could make a play, lightning in a bottle, and win you a big game.
Okay, babe. At least you're being consistent, and I don't know if you were putting me on there at the end, but either way, at least that's a consistent, coherent Patriots take. You love the player when he was here. He's a secret weapon when he was here, and you criticize the team for letting him go. Consistent. I'll take it. There's a drop. You just leaked a drop of objectivity, Patriots Nation. I'll take it. But let me ask you this.
Of course, it's wrong, but that's all right.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this. In all honesty, would you rather have Cordell Patterson back on this team or Bruce Ellington and Mo Harris?
I'd rather have Patterson.
Ellington and Harris.
No, I'd rather have Patterson.
Not me.
You'd rather have Ellington and Harris than Cordell Patterson?
Yeah, because I think Ellington actually has the chance to run a route and catch a pass. I do.
Patterson, to me, is a legitimate return man. He is the best in the league at that. So at least I know what I'm getting there. Yeah. Everything else is overrated and mostly useless.
19 times a year. No thanks. I'm done with Patterson.
Without him, they lose that Chicago game.
He's a trickster. Because, again, you're factoring in salary now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're factoring. I'm not paying Cordell Patterson $5 million. No chance.
You paid him $3.25 million last year.
I didn't want to pay him that. I'd rather pay Duke Ellington $1 million or whatever they're paying him.
Bob and Easton with the MLB Thought on Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Yeah, mixing it up a little bit on Agenda Free Friday. I know the Sox, I believe, have an interleague series, their first road trip. I think it's Arizona.
No, it isn't. It's Seattle, then Arizona.
Okay, sorry, Maz. And I'm pretty much done with interleague play at this point. It's kind of worn out its novelty. So I was thinking about proposing something like, why don't when the National League teams come to Fenway, we play National League rules so the Boston fans get to see a different game, and yep. Then when they come to an American League park, you play American League rules.
Bob, did you email me this the other day?
No.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's how much response you get, Maz. You've gotten that multiple times. I do that.
Sure. And by the way, it's Seattle, Oakland, Arizona, not that anyone cares. I love the idea that he brought up. Think about it. National League team comes in here, you play National League rules. So the people at Fenway, the know-it-all Red Sox fan, the people in Boston who know more baseball than anybody else, of course, will have to sit there and rack their brains trying to figure out double switches. I love the idea. I don't understand why baseball hasn't done it. That's a great idea. Like, that would give interleague games a little more novelty. Excellent idea.
All for it.
You forget, though, that the Red Sox had a manager who couldn't figure out a double switch in John Farrell.
That makes it even more fun, Jimmy.
Mike and Lynn with the Patriots Thought. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. I changed my thought. It's gender-free, so I'm going to go with the Celtics now. Just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about as far as a fan perspective with all the movement and everybody going in with the NBA. To me, I understand it from an NBA standpoint. Guys are moving around. It creates fodder. It creates people talk about it. You guys talk about it nonstop, and that's fine. But as a fan standpoint, I think it sucks. Like, I can't stand talking about Kyrie, you know, for 12 months. Where is he going to go? Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I'm having an ulcer worrying about whether Anthony Davis is going to stay or is he going to go.
Right.
He's not even on the team yet. I'm done. I don't want Anthony Davis because I don't want to do this all again next year with the whole Kyrie thing this year. I'm done with it.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, I mean, I hear you. I think it's great.
It's good for the league.
I think it's great fodder, and I think it opens up more teams. I mean, not that you care. I'm not asking you to care about the Knicks, but if not for this, the player movement and all this stuff, the Knicks just have to hope to suck in the right year and win the ping pong balls and draft the right guy. They can go 50 years without being good. And I know you don't care, but that's not healthy for the league. So it just, I just think it opens up more teams that gives them a chance.
I mean, as Adam Silver said not too long ago, I think it was, you know, you got to get rid of the 6-year rebuild. Like it doesn't work. And even because it's not guaranteed either. Like, you know, the plan, like you said, you got to suck for a period of years, do what Philly's doing. The 6-year rebuild. Get it high in the lottery and then hope you get the right year and the right picks and then see what happens. And even then, it might not work. This way is way better in terms of that.
I think it's way better.
So it sucks if you're the Celtics right now because you want to keep Kyrie. But for the league, it's better.
In terms of talkability, it's second. And hockey and baseball are not even close. I mean, really. So I think I think that's good for the league. I do. No commercials. Update. We come back with more of your calls on Agenda Free Friday and fresh Fuppets that I've been told could be a record breaker. So don't leave your radio or television.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.